Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
CBS Sports Pick 6 Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Will Brinson. Will, thanks for joining us this morning.
What's up, Ken? How you doing, man? Sorry, I'm walking my dog, and I left my earphones at home, and the dog wouldn't let me go back as fast as I want. So if you hear birds chirping, it's just the beautiful North Carolina weather.
What is it with you and your dogs always causing you problems? The one time we tried to get a hold of you and you dropped your phone in the leaves while you were walking your dogs last spring?
My dog's a psychopath.
What type of dog do you have?
King Charles Cavalier. He's a wonky-eyed spaniel.
What is that? I had a cocker spaniel when I was a kid.
Yeah, it's going to be similar.
Okay.
You know, brown, white, chases birds.
Okay.
Also chases cars and vans and really anything. Tries to attack the recycling truck, you know this.
Yeah, I can understand that. Will, answer this question. Why did I get it so wrong when I said that Kansas City was going to win the Super Bowl?
That's a question I've been asking myself for the last couple of days. I mean, look, you know, I think, frankly, I think it boils down to coaching. I mean, obviously the execution matters, and Tampa was just better than Kansas City in a lot of facets. But I think that really when you look at it, it's the coaching and what Tampa Bay did and what Kansas City didn't do that kind of set the game apart. Because, I mean, you know, Todd Bowles and the Bucs had a brilliant defensive game plan. You know, they decided that they were going to, you know, play two high safeties, and they were going to try to play zone, and they were not going to, you know, they were going to force Patrick Mahomes to sort of take what they gave him and blitz in really opportune times, but not blitz aggressively, which is what they usually like to do. And so I think that, you know, first of all, I mean, you know, the only way that Kansas City had no counters, which is so weird, right? Like, they didn't set up with a bunch of underneath stuff designed to get the ball out quickly when these pass rushers were getting home. I mean, it was like they were trying to hit these big shot plays, you know, way too frequently. And additionally, you know, they weren't prepared to come out and run the ball, which, you know, is hard to do against Tampa Bay, but, you know, it is something that you kind of need to do sometimes if you get, you know, to bring those safeties down. And additionally, you know, I think it's a Kansas City team that, you know, I've seen the word used, and I don't even know who said it, but I thought it was described perfectly. They, you know, Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy, the hubris of leaving your tackles, your backup tackles on an island against good pass rushers and thinking that it was going to hold up and then not adjusting throughout the game. I mean, it really is. Hubris is the only word I can think of it for, because that's just what it feels like. And believing that their offensive line was just going to win, then seeing it not win, and then really not adjusting. And you know, additionally, give credit to Tampa Bay's offensive game plan, and Kansas City didn't really have, you know, a whole lot cooking defensively. So I mean, obviously, again, execution matters, but the coaching really stood out to me in this one.
Because I thought the defense, and there were some people who gave me defensive rankings a couple days ago, and I went, you know, that I thought that was a lot caused by their offense. Some people disagreed, fine. Back in 2019, I thought their defense had some pieces. I thought they needed help in the secondary. They went out and they got it. And I thought that this is a defense that I want to respect, but I also know that I got so many calls on Saturday saying, Ken, it's Tom Brady. You can't bet against Tom Brady. And go, what are you saying? I can't bet against Tom Brady. I can always bet against Tom Brady. I got a 43-year-old guy going up against, right now, the most talented quarterback in the entire NFL. But I think the way you just said it is kind of the way that maybe Andy Reid was saying it. Like, hey, we got the best quarterback in the NFL. We'll go ahead and we'll figure it out here.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. I mean, it's just... I mean, I sort of wonder, you know, I would, I mean, it would be fascinating, and maybe we'll find out more, you know, once these behind the scenes stories start popping up. But like, I'd be very curious to know, like, just how much of an impact Eric Bieniemy had on the, you know, on the offensive game plan, decision making with the offensive game plan. And I'd be curious to know how much, you know, the Andy Reid, you know, situation with his son impacted, you know, exactly what, you know, what happened with him, you know, with his week and the preparation for his week, you know, just leading up to all of it. Because I have to think it matters, you know?
Yeah, because I on Monday we talked about that a little bit, and I said, you know, this is a 35-year-old grown man. I can't sit there and hold his hand over everything. Like, if I go out and I do something terrible, they're not calling my dad over it. But I don't work for my dad. And we had Mary Kay Cabot on from The Plain Dealer earlier, and she said she thought that that had a lot to do with it, because if he's not there for it, or if there's other problems there, then that's going to affect the football team in some way, certainly defensively.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that completely. I think, you know, there's a trickle-down effect to it, right? Like, even if you want to say that it didn't affect Andy Reid that much, and I do think, you know, I mean, ultimately, like, you know, you're just, even if it's just like a couple of phone calls, you're still, you know, I mean, it's one of your coaches. Even if, you know, even if you want to take the sun angle out of it, it's one of your coaches, right? Mm-hmm. If that happens, you know, if that happens to any assistant coach on any football team, there's going to be a lot of questions asked, you know, and then you have the trickle down effect of, all right, you know, this is his job, et cetera, et cetera. Like, now somebody has to pick up the slack for him right here. Somebody has to do this here. And I mean, there's, you know, there's just a cascading, you know, even if it's like just little things here and there, you know, communications, calls, you know, you got to talk to an attorney, you got to talk to, you know, the owner. I mean, like, it's just the opportunity cost to prepare for an opponent and to find little, you know, like Tom Brady is spending every waking moment preparing for the Super Bowl. And, you know, so it's just a distraction. And so I think it does ultimately, obviously, it's far more important to worry about, you know, the lives of whoever, you know, was involved on the other end. But I do think from a football preparation standpoint, it does matter.
Will Brinson joining us on the show, CBS Sports senior NFL writer, Pick Six Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Will Brinson. I saw Tom Brady. I made an analogy this morning after I saw Tom Brady yesterday. He looked like a divorcee who just left her overbearing husband. The way he was. Now I know he had a couple, but he just seemed as happy as I've ever seen him. Because I think that it's been proven now, okay, this was me, we could do it, and we could do it my way. What does he do from here on out? Is this one more year with Tampa Bay, and is that it? Or is there a possibility, like, he has this one more year at Tampa Bay, and then he gets for more years with Tampa Bay? Or does he maybe try with another team?
No, I think Tampa Bay's the spot. I mean, you know, one of the things, you saw Russell Wilson come out, right, and, like, complain about, if he wanted to have input in the personnel and all that, which is kind of an insane thing to ask for. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think one of the things that Tom Brady loves about the situation in Tampa Bay is that he does have that, and he's able to collaborate with Jason Light. He's able to collaborate with Bruce Arians. They're able to figure out, you know, different opportunities from a personnel and, you know, receive, like, you know, just from a, they work together. And I think that is a, you know, if you look at, I said this before last year, if you look at Tom Brady's endorsement deals, you know, Under Armour, right? You know, you have the, you know, just, you know, the TV, like, you know, look at all his endorsement deals and how he doesn't take this big check from them. He likes to be involved in these projects. He wants equity, right? And so yeah. I think that was a big selling. Uggs is another one too. There's a big selling point to him with Tampa Bay is that he's not going to get, you know, equity in the Buccaneers per se, but he's going to be invested and involved in decision making with Tampa Bay. And I think that matters to him. And so I think he's found a spot where, you know, you look at the roster. I mean, they got to figure out some things with the free agents, whether it's Chris Godwin or, you know, Shaq Barrett, Leonard Fournette is one as well. You know, they got several guys on there. Levante David, who Bruce Arians emphatically said would be back. I think a lot of these guys will come back and take less money. So you add those guys to a core nucleus that includes Vita Vea, who's on his rookie contract, Devin White on his rookie contract. You know, Antoine Winfield was just a rookie. Carlton Davis. I mean, they have all these players on defense. And that are kind of locked in. They have a good offensive line. I mean, I just don't see why Tom Brady goes anywhere else. I think he hangs out in Tampa Bay, and I think he tries to make a run for like 3 or 4 more years. Well, we'll have to see. I mean, at this point, it's just an anomaly, and you just can't not expect him to fall off the cliff.
I want to ask you about the Browns here in a bit. I got to go back to what you said about Russell Wilson. You said it was insane. Why?
Well, I just don't think that you can – I don't think you can – I don't like the idea that you come out this offseason and like, go on the Dan Patrick show. And I get you're trying to send a message, but – and be like, I want personnel control. My offensive line needs to be better. I was just really surprised that Russell Wilson handled it this way because, it's not the same thing at all, but, you know, if Baker Mayfield came out and did it, and I understand Russ has a title and Russ is on the – I just mean, like, if he came out of nowhere and did that, you'd be like, whoa! And, like, everybody – like, it didn't happen to a local newspaper. You know, it was like a national message stint. And I don't know. I mean, like, to me, it just strikes me as – I was very surprised that Russ did it. It doesn't seem like something he would do. And ultimately, I think it creates a lot of drama with Seattle that you know is probably unnecessary.
Well, part of the reason we'd freak out here is because Baker basically already had a lot of power in the hiring of Freddie Kitchens. So if he turned right around and demanded more power, I think a lot of people would be losing their mind. But the thing I bring up with Russell Wilson is, of course, he just sees Tom Brady. Tom Brady has his hands all over this thing. And so that means a lot. But also, I just wonder, okay, is this the first time he's made his opinion known to the Seahawks,
sure,
to John Schneider, to all those guys, and now he's like, you know what? I'm getting my ass handed to me here. I'm the reason we're above 500. I'm the reason we're in the playoffs here. I need some help, and damn it, if you guys aren't going to listen to me, I'm going to go public with it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, last year in the offseason, he was like, we need to run our offense this way. And it's possible that, you know, he's sitting there at the Super Bowl with Roger Goodell on Sunday, and he's watching Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes play, and he's looking at everything around Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, you have to think that Russell Wilson wonders what would have happened if Andy Reid had drafted me in the third round of 2012 in Philly. Like, you know what I mean? You know, if I was Andy Reid's quarterback, appearing in or, you know, flirting with, like, building a dynasty? And I don't think that's out of the question because he'd be a perfect fit for Reid's system. But he's also looking at Tom Brady and thinking, man, like, that's who I want to be. And this guy has found this spot in Tampa Bay. And then add in the fact that, you know, he's sitting there after just winning the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. And again, not getting a single MVP vote. And I think he probably is sort of like, you know, having a little bit of FOMO. And maybe he said something about it before privately, and that's what led to it. I think that's entirely possible. I just think it was sort of a buildup of concern after sitting there for like 6 hours in Roger Goodell's suite.
I see Levante David, and I know what you just said and what they just said about him, and that's probably true, but I go, man, I'd like a nice vet like that. Maybe a guy like that at 26 for the Cleveland Browns, but I got a lot of people going, well, the analytics, it doesn't follow. When did linebackers become worthless all of a sudden?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more like, you know, you have to find out, like, Devin, or do you mean, like, I think Devin White too. You know, like he went top five, right? And he was. I mean, I think if you can find a modern linebacker, it's still well worth your time to draft him because it allows your defense to be more multiple. You know, you can utilize them in different formations. You know, you have all these, you know, these versatile tight ends who are out there, and you have all these running backs who can just get in space. So I mean, I think, you know, if you can find a modern linebacker, it's definitely worth it. The problem is, there's just a natural phasing out of all these, you know, you have all these kids who, you know, grew up playing linebacker. And as a result, you know, it's like you just have this whole generation of guys who are like middle linebackers. And now it's sort of been phased out, but we're certainly not completely there. And I think it's just a tough transition for football as a whole. And now people are just not drafting these thumping run stuffers.
Will Brinson with us on the show. I want to extend Baker Mayfield. Do you want to extend Baker Mayfield, or would you just pick up the fifth-year option?
I think – so he just finished his third year, right?
Second mm-hmm.
year? Third year.
Third.
Yeah. Third year. Sorry, everything blends together.
Mm-hmm.
I want to extend him, too. Here's my thing. I'm really high on Baker, and I was high on him coming into last year and thought he was going to have a bounce-back year. He did. I think he has definitely another step he can take. I think there's two things you have to weigh a couple of things. One, I'm not sure why teams are so insistent on extending. Like, what it depends on what the numbers are. So, like, if you can extend Baker for a below market deal and do it now and lock him in, then I have no problem with it. if you have to get Baker, if you have to get Baker like a Jared Goff, Carson Wentz type of deal, in the sense where you're getting in the top five for average annual value and how you're structuring and all of that, I would probably hold off or at least see if he wants to hold off because the Eagles and the Rams made a huge mistake in extending those quarterbacks too soon, and they're going to end up trading both of them and taking massive cap hits as a result. And they didn't have to extend those guys after their third year. They could have waited. And if they'd waited, they would have been able to save more money or would have known more about the players before they committed these huge sums of money to them. And so I understand that, the future franchise, all of that, quarterback wants to get paid. But, I think there's an argument for, especially in this offseason when you see Wentz demanding a trade, Matthew Stafford wanted a trade, John Watson's demanding a trade, Russell Wilson's sort of doing this thing, right? Why not maybe wait and both sides be patient and make sure it's the right fit and that it's the right time to sign the deal? Because when you sign the deal, like when Baker signs a contract this offseason, there's advanced scrutiny that comes with that. Obviously, you want to get your money when you can get your money. I begrudge nobody for signing a big contract. And I think I would be willing to sign Baker. But if I'm him or if I'm the Browns, I'm like, maybe let's wait one more year. We're going to pick up the fifth-year option, obviously. Let's have a great year, and then let's work out a deal after the fourth season. And if Baker has a great year, then you have no qualms whatsoever about giving him top five money, and there's no like grudge that could potentially crop up from fans or the, ownership.
30 seconds. What would you do with OBJ?
I love OBJ, so I'd bring him back. But that's me. I'm irrationally high on Odell Beckham too. So he's a great player. I don't understand why people don't want to sell Beckham. Bring him back, let him get comfortable in year two in the system like everybody else and see if he explodes.
Totally agree. Follow Will Brinson on Twitter, @ Will Brinson, Pick 6 Podcast, CBS Sports senior NFL writer. Will, we thank you for the time. We'll talk to you down the road,
buddy.
Friend.
See you.
Yep. Will Brinson joining us on the show on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Man, I thought for a second he might go the other way with Odell Beckham Jr. I'm glad he went the way he went. Was happy with that. I got to get back into the Baker thing when we come back. And Kenny, I know, but I got to get back into it when we come back just because I still feel that the negative part of it is too much if you didn't extend him. Because even with the messaging, I think that might be tough. Ken Carmen with Anthony Lyman, live on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.